I want to read this. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I think most of you understand this particular chapter of Scripture. He maketh us, me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I would fear no evil, for thou art with me. And thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, or accompany me, all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think you're very familiar with that. Most people can recite it for memory. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Powerful thing. Now, I was talking once before, I can't remember whether it's the last time we talked on Wednesday night or whatever, but I was talking about absolute faith. Absolute faith. And we talked about absolute faith because we're talking about absolute zero. And when God deals with things, he deals with them in an absolute fashion. God is absolute. And that's why some people are trying to, political correctness and all this kind of stuff. And but God is very clear, is very absolute in terms of what he says and how he operates. And he told us to subdue the earth. And this authority that he gave us is that authority to subdue this earth or control take control of these mountains that the enemy has held. And those things that we're going to come up on seem impossible, but they're not impossible with God. And what connects us with God is this idea of faith. And faith is our way of getting things done in the earth. If you see Jesus and how he operated, he continued to operate that way. That's just how he ran things. And the Bible said in Romans chapter 4:13 that we are heirs of the world. And this faith is the thing that really helps us to overcome the world in every way. So everything that seems impossible for you is something that really is a requirement for your faith. And faith is designed to do the impossible. So we said that this whole idea of fear, that in the last days, the Bible even talks about men's hearts will fail them because of fear, that there will be a spiritual heart attack. And it's not just talking about somebody dying physically, but it's talking about your faith exploding. It won't work. And that you look at the Bible, you'll see God continued to talk about fearing not, because we're going to be led from faith to faith. You're going to be led from one level to another level. And if fear is there, you can't go any further. So we're going to talk about that too. The scripture I'd like you to see is Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'm just going to save some time here. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Don't do Deuteronomy 11. Let's do Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. All right, now there are all kinds of fears there here within the earth. And the enemy is working on containment. Say containment. Containment means that you got saved, but I'm trying to keep you from going any further. I'm just saying, not me, but that's the enemy's strategy. So he's trying to keep the church from advancing the kingdom here in the earth. So fear is one of the main things that he uses. Look what it says. Oh, boy. I tell you what. If you put something right there and look at Joshua chapter 1, and in Joshua chapter 1, then we could flip back to this particular scripture. Let me read Joshua chapter 1 first. I think I want to read Joshua chapter 1 first. Look at Joshua 1 and start at verse 3. You know Joshua is taking over the leadership of Moses. All right, look at verse 3. every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. That's what he gave me as a scripture to take this mall, to possess it, to you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, that's Iraq today, all the land of the Hittites, okay? It's the land of the Hittites, and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. All right? So this West Bank is what it is. And if you look at it here, he said the land of the Hittites. Hittites. All right. Who are these Hittites? All right. So when we say Hittites, now I won't read any further. You can read further yourself. The Hittites are of the lineage of Heth. Now, Heth was seen, I'm going to cover all this. I'm not going to shortcut it, but I'm going to let you out on time. Heth was here. He was a son of Canaan, found in Genesis 10, verse 15. Put it on the board, please. Genesis 10, verse 15. All right, if you look at Genesis 10, 15, he said, and Canaan begat Zidon, his firstborn, and who? Heth. All right? Now, this is talking about the lineage coming from the generation of Noah. You had Ham, Japheth, and Shem. Shem was Semitic people, Asian people. Ham was black people, mainly in the Middle East, Africa. And Japheth was Caucasian people, mainly Europe. And so these are the three that began the races that started in the earth. Now, if you go on down, you've got Canaan. And Canaan came out of Cush. And Canaan begat Heth. Now, the word Heth has to do with sons of Terah. Sons of Terah. If you look at the Al-Qaeda today, one of the major things they've specialize in is bringing terror. It's called terrorism. It's using fear as a weapon. Got it? Now, this terror, come on back over now to Joshua again. I shouldn't have had you drop that place. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 4. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. And there shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor what? Forsake thee, be strong and of a good, come on, courage. Notice the land of the Hittites. That's what he told Joshua, the land of the Hittites. Well, let's go back and look at Deuteronomy chapter 7 and God talking with Moses. And he says in Deuteronomy chapter 7 in verse 1, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whether thou go in to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the who? Hittites. Now he goes on with the Girgashites, which means clay dwellers, Amorites, which means slanderers, Canaanites, he's going down. So each one of these ites is a strong man. So notice each time the Hittites is mentioned first. The Hittites. And the Hittites are the spirits that carry extreme manifestations of fear. They carry fear. They carry nightmares, phobias, all kinds of fear, and so forth and so on. So the Hittites are the spirits behind suicide. The Hittites are the spirits behind premature deaths. Hittites, sickness, failings, so forth and so on. The Hittites, that's the first spirit you're going to get. Now notice, or come in contact with. Notice verse 2. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them from before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. No. I didn't finish reading verse 1 because I want to read this. Verse 1. Put it up there again. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land where thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations from before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and Hivites are spirits need a crutch. People always think they need a crutch. And the Jebusites, seven nations greater and what? Mightier than you are. Got it? So that's why the world can't do anything about fear. They have to find a way to deal with fear. Now, a person may not fear one thing, but they fear something else. You know, they may not fear jumping out of an airplane and so forth, skydiving, but they do fear the creditor calling their house that night. You got what I'm saying? So the idea about it is you got to get out all fear. Okay? So these seven nations mightier than you. Verse 2. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly what? Destroy them. Thou shalt make no what? Covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. All right? So this fear spirit is God is saying, Joshua, you're going to dispossess all these squatters that's squatting on your land. And your land is your soul. He's planning to restore your soul. All right? Now, fear connects you with Satan. He needs fear to do something to you like God needs faith to do something for you. Got it? Now, if this is striking you right and you feel like you don't want to hear this, that's because that fear spirit is trying to make a decision through you. Got it? Doesn't want you to hear this. All right? But remember, virtue comes with the word. When I teach on something, power comes with it to deliver you. It comes with the word. All right, now, the Hittite spirits are currently extremely active in the world. And the spirit of fear has really been trying to invade and control the church. All right? And the spirits of fear try to get on people, individuals, groups, pastors, so forth. The pastor won't preach what needs to be preached. The people don't trust the pastor. All kinds of fears. And fear of people, fear of growing old, fear of failing, fear of being too young, fear of being not smart enough, fear of leadership. Now, all these, usually what the devil does is he has a fear and he tries to hide until it's time for manifestation. In other words, when you got frightened is not when fear came. Fear was there, but waiting on when he should manifest to stop you from doing what you just about to do. Okay? So notice the rich young ruler, when Jesus told him to sell what he had, give it to the poor, and come on, follow me. Notice fear took hold of it. So fear can be in leadership. It can be in people to keep them from giving. Fear can be in people fearing that they were going to lose what they had. How about Job? The thing that he what? Feared most came upon him. And fear of change, fear of being broke or poverty, fear of getting sick, fear of dying early, all these fears. Somebody said, well, I'm afraid to fly. No, you're afraid to die. Because if I took the airplane and set it on the ground, you wouldn't have any problem with it. But the thing of it is that these fears and cause people to give all kinds of excuses for failing or all kinds of excuses for not really stepping up to what they're supposed to be stepped up to. So we want to talk about that a little bit tonight and talk about it. So let's, this fear, I said that, you know, fear can hide. And one of the things in Peter's life, that he didn't know he had that fear. Remember over in Matthew, I think it's Matthew chapter 26 or something like that. But Jesus was being interrogated and they came to Peter and said, hey, weren't you with him? And Peter said, no, I don't know the guy. All right. Now notice how fear can make you lie. Okay, lie about your age, lie about error, all kinds of stuff. Fear will make you do that. All right. So like I told you, fear connects you with the devil. And this, we're talking about absolute faith. So I have a feeling that if we just get fear out of the church, faith will flow like a flood. We see miracles just pop out. You don't even need to, you need to work for a miracle. It just pop out anywhere. I think fear has contained us from the faith manifesting miracles and supernatural in our lives. I really believe that. I really believe there ain't no problem with your finances. We just got to get the faith back in again. All right, we're going to talk about it tonight. Praise God. Would you like to talk about it tonight? Okay, all right. Let it flow. Okay, all right. Now, we have to confront these Hittites. And the first thing, of course, you kind of, you know what they are. And if you look at religion is an interesting counterfeit because it appears to be right. And if you go in 2 Timothy chapter 3, go on over there, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, where I started really, really understanding this is doing this bank. Putting up the Covenant Bank. And I saw how much the banking community feared the regulators. It was like, whoa, what up here? I just, you know, I mean, it's like these folks are God or something. And so what happened with that, if the enemy can get you to fear, then God can't deliver. Because he needs faith from you or somebody for him to deliver. Because that's the way you move the hand of God. God moved without you believing it, didn't he? He violated his own word. He'd be in trouble. And he's not going to do that. So this 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of what? Godliness, but what? Denying the power thereof, from such do what? Turn away. So this is interesting how religion counterfeits itself as the real thing. But religion is not based on the truth of God's word. It's based on the either feelings or someone's assumption of the information that they heard. Let me kind of share with you what I mean. Let's go to Job chapter 1. Job. In Job chapter 1, he says, after the enemy had come in and absolutely wrecked Job's life, it said in verse 21 of Job chapter 1, and say, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Got it? Now notice what he said, the Lord took away. Now who said that? Job. All right? Now Job said that, and the Bible says in 2 Timothy, don't turn anywhere, just on the board, put it up there please, whoever's handling the screen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, put it on the board. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture. So there are some lies recorded in the Bible. And they're recorded in the Bible for your correction. So over in Job, and Job chapter 1 and verse 21, he says, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now the Lord didn't take Job's family. Job thought that because that was the information he was operating off of. Now, if you go to Job chapter 3 and verse 25, he said, verse 25, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of, keep going, has come to me. Now, what did I just tell you? That fear connects you with who? The devil. Any kind of fear. It'll make come on you what you don't want. And if you go on down to Job chapter 6 and verse 23, put it on the board, or deliver me from the enemy's hand, or redeem me from the hand of the mighty. Teach me, and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. Now notice what he must have done. He must have gotten his tongue wagging the wrong way. Are you with me? He must have. Because the enemy wanted his speech to authorize, to make a breach in the spirit so Satan could come in. Psalm chapter 39, verse 1. When you get it, put it on the board. Psalm 39 and verse 1. All right. I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the what? Wicked is before me. Now notice what fear will do. Come in and try to get you to wagging your tongue. Why? To authorize it. Okay. Now, this case can be seen, of course, over there in Numbers chapter 13. Come on back over there. I'm going to flip to all these. Praise God. Numbers chapter 13. And look what he says here. Once they came back from spying out the land of Canaan, 12 spies, verse 30, Caleb and Caleb still the people. before Moses. He said, let us go up at once, possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Watch this. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they're stronger than we. He told you they were stronger than you. He has told you what you're about to do, you can't do. Am I right about it? What you're about to build, you can't build. What you're about to buy, you can't buy. What you're about to say, you can't back up. What you're about, he's telling you that. He's telling you that because you're going to take land based on his ability and not your own. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. Keep going. For thou art with me. So one of the ways you keep fear out of your life is keep the presence of the Lord in it. I got to keep God's presence in it. When you start fearing, you start praising. When you start fearing, you start quoting scripture. When you start fearing, you follow what I'm saying? Bring God's presence back in, because the fear is a spirit. It is not you. It is a spirit controlling you. And you need to identify it as a spirit. It is not you that fears. It's the spirit that's causing you to fear. You don't have the nature of fear. You got the nature, divine nature of God. Now I'm telling you this because fear has made people make the wrong decision. And if you go on down and look at verse 1 of chapter 14, chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and wept and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the congregation of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Now watch what they did. They heard something. And when they heard it, fear came. Because it's designed to provoke fear. You got to hear it. You might not hear it on the news, but you'll hear it with the devil speaking to your mind. And he'll tell you, this is not going to work. You're going to run out of money. You're going to do this. You're going to so forth and so on. And you can't go with that because God is going to take you into a place where it's too big for you. The land is too much for you. The property costs too much for you. Come on, the deal, it takes too much intelligence for you. He's going to take you into a place where you can't handle it. Now, understand, that's your laughing place. That's your wealthy place. And what you got to do is understand, whatever you fear, you better attack, because that's where your inheritance lies. That's where it is. I guarantee it's right behind that spirit. And his job is to protect that land. Look what it said in look what they said in verse 2, part of verse 2. The whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Would God we had died in this wilderness. Wherefore has the Lord brought us into the land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children shall be a prey. Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make us a captain. Let us return to Egypt. Let's go to another church. Let's go to another church, man. This pastor, I don't know about this pastor. He always talking about money. He said so forth. Let's go. Come on. Let's go to another church. What I'm not trying to do is get something from you. I'm trying to get something to you. I'm trying to make it so that you can believe God for money without understanding that you got to be employed to get it all. In other words, if you get laid off, what you gonna do, starve to death? What you gonna do, start begging? I can believe God for money if I'm not working. Because my money don't come from my work. My money comes from the kingdom of Almighty God. And if you still think it does come to work, that fear has blocked your way, so the faith won't work so it can bring it in. God took care of them in the wilderness with no Kmart, with no jobs at IBM, with no he took care of them every day. He'll show you, I can do it for you, because your provisions are not in the world. From the kingdom of God. Now, faith tries to block your way to reasoning like that, and it'll control your mind because faith is a force. It's a force. I was down in Atlanta. I've told this story before. And I was down there when I was still with IBM. We were at a manager's meeting. And they were having a new product. I'm going, some of the managers come down because we were introducing it at our regions. And so I was down there. And then I was talking to one of the fellow managers in the hall. And I looked down in the hall, and there was an elevator down there. And the elevator, I saw a lady standing up and waiting for the elevator. I don't know why something had me, that it caught my attention. And then what happened was the elevator opened. I remember seeing that. I'm still talking to him, but I'm kind of noticing what's going on. And she walked into the elevator, and once she got in there and turned around, I saw it. The doors slam, boom, to the fact that you heard it all down the hall. And she started, I knew it was going to do that. I knew it. Her faith took over the mechanisms of that elevator and slammed that door. And it'll take over the mechanisms of your car and break them down. Her fear. Fear is a force. It'll do what faith will do because it's the opposite of faith. I'm telling you, fear will lock your brain up on an examination and you'll come out of there looking dumb as I don't know what. It'll lock your brain up. You'll get up there in fear on that stage and can't get nothing out. Won't remember a thing you have studied all night. And the reason why is fear is hidden and it's in there, and we got to purge that demon out. Now, some of you sitting up in here, all you praising the Lord, all you this and that, but deep down inside, that hath spirit, that spirit of terror is still down in there. And given the right conditions, he will emerge. And I'm trying to suck him out right now and make him emerge so we can cast him out. So if you feel like you want to run out of here, that's why. Got it? So, all of this, notice they want to make another captain now. They want another leader. And that's what people do. Well, I'm leaving this church. I'm going to a seeker-friendly church. Okay, all right, well, go on. Now, my point to you is you're not making that decision based on the word. Because the word says you go where God plants you. That the Spirit of God puts you in the place he wants you to be. And you better not move. And there are people have gone and let fear talk them out of this ministry and go over to some other church. And here's the thing that you can see is there is no fruit in their lives. Oh, they over there where they feel comfortable because they feel comfortable in fear. But what we're building in here is faith, and we're going to take the ground that fear has occupied in your life. Now, what they try to do is kind of get on me and try to persuade me that I'm either going to preach something else. Folks, I've been there. I blew up at Madison Street. I remember, we went out to Dr. Fred Casey Price. This is the first time we went out there. It was in 1990. We got, my wife and I believed God for money. We didn't have any money. Believed God for the money for the airfare going out there and back. And praise God, money came in, about $1,100 or so. Came in, we went out there, and Dr. Price started preaching. Praise God. Start preaching. And I mean, toss some thanks at that baby. That's it. Praise God. So I just, you know, just devoured that stuff. And I came back and I said, hey, praise God, I'm going to preach that same thing. It's going to be pure faith we're going to preach. I started preaching it. And then a group of people came up to me and said, you've changed. I said, well, what do you mean I've changed? They said, you don't preach like you used to preach. I said, well, I'm going down the word line upon line, right down the scripture and so forth. Well, Pastor, we really think that this is the kind of group that you have to, you know, so forth and preach your way. And get this now. So I kind of went back. Come on, I choked. And I went back to hooping. You know what I mean? I'm not saying I was hooping, but I went back to that. But notice, And I thought that was satisfying. Then they came in and wanted me to back up a little bit more. I said, I ain't doing nothing. I'm going to come back over here where I was. I preached the gospel. Watch this. They left and the church exploded. I am telling you, there are people that have come here to manipulate me. But I won't bow. I won't bow. I don't care if you don't like me. That's not what I'm supposed to do first. A shepherd has got a staff. And that staff not only is for guiding you, but it's for spanking your hiney when you get out of line. But a preacher that is fearful can't do that. Because he's fearful to preach some things because of fear that you won't like it. And if you don't like it, you won't come back. And if you don't come back, he can't make no more money off of you. And if he can't make no more money off of you, he can't finish paying the payments on his car or whatever he got or whatever. I'm just saying, I'm just saying, well, and I'm certainly not denigrating preachers. I'm just saying everybody got to learn to live by faith. Everybody. I got my house by faith. I got my cars by faith. I got my wife by faith. I got my kids saved by faith. I got everything done by faith. So that nobody will take the credit for what God has done in my life. Ain't a single person in this place can take credit. Not a single person. That's why you got Oyedepo coming here. He is, I'm telling you, what he has done with his faith is I mean, beyond. I mean, that's why I got him coming here, because I got to learn. I got to feed on something more. That, these two big universities, I've been there. Huge. Huge. His ministry is now all over the world, Hong Kong, everywhere. Why? His faith has elevated him. Now he's got something to say, and people would dare not come. Dare not come. And they're going to have to live by faith to please God. In other words, if you're not, he's not pleased with you. Thank God you're his child. But God's got to get you off the system. That system of Babylon is designed to make a slave out of you. I didn't mean to preach this hard. This both have been line upon line. But don't ever think you can make a face that will make me bow. Don't ever think you can look at me strange enough that I'll back up on my word. When I see that ugly look on your face, I get harder. Because I got to show myself I ain't scared of you. You can open a door to fear, and the fear of man bringeth a snare. It will snare you and make you say something that will please men but displease God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. There's a book called How to Be a Billionaire. Big book. On page number 13, he says this, one way or another, if you succeed in amassing $1 billion, a fortune of $1 billion, you will also succeed in making some folks very unhappy. So just get ready for it. If you're going to elevate in wealth, somebody's going to be unhappy. Now watch this. If you bow down to them, you won't be elevated. Isn't this wonderful? Aren't y'all glad you got a preacher here that is not afraid? So what Job said was truly stated, but it wasn't a statement of truth. And a lot of songs that I hear today are not statements of truth. Now, what are they imparting to us? Misinformation. You're singing them over and over again. I just heard one when I was coming up here in the car. Boy, it sounded good. Almost made me want to pull out my handkerchief. Yeah, Lord, yeah, Lord. All right. Everything that feels good ain't good for you. Don't ever forget that. Okay. So, people afraid to sow. Fear. And I'm just saying that, how about prayer? People afraid in terms of prayer. The Bible says he will answer you speedily. Every prayer is answered if it's prayed in faith. Prayer doesn't make faith work. Faith makes prayer work. You can pray in fear and that thing will come on you. How about also Psalm 90? Turn over there, Psalm 90. Yeah, I had one of the leaders of the city ask me, "Where, Doc, where are you coming from?" I said, "Tuskegee." Okay, no, I didn't say it. Okay. You want to know where I'm at? Why? Because I don't lean on anybody. And one of the chief leaders, I called him, everybody in here and over the internet would see it, know it. And he said, "Hey, how did you do all this?" He sat down in my office. I said, "The Lord did it." He said, "No, I ain't talking about that." See? And I'm telling you, the way the leadership be kissing up under somebody is because of fear. Verse 8, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all thy days have passed away in wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be what? 80. Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we do what? Fly away." Now, we've had that and heard that in funerals at 70, 80 years. Well, we're finding out that's not the case anymore. These are disobedient people in the wilderness, and because of that, the curse has come on. Say amen to that. But how many of you know you've been redeemed from the curse? All right, now let's attach that to this scripture here. If you turn on over here with Proverbs 24, the next book, Proverbs 24, please. I'm almost done. Isn't this wonderful? Yeah. So when you get frightened, it's not when fear came. Fear was there waiting to manifest. But you can cast fear out. Look what it said in Proverbs 24 and verse 5. "A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases what? Strength." Remember he told Joshua, be what? Strong and what? Good courage. And one way strength comes is through knowledge. Watch verse 10. If thou faint now, if you give way, you fall down, fall out, faint means to weaken and give up in the day of adversity, it's because your strength is small. You just need some more word. You don't know enough. All right, so what are some of the ways that we deal with fear? One of them is knowledge. I just showed you that. As you get knowledge or revelation knowledge, I'm telling you something, it'll renew your mind, and you'll find the things that you feared before you don't fear anymore. Let's say you go to the doctor and you thought you had something in heart and so forth, and you go to the doctor and the doctor said, oh, you know what you've got? You got reflux, something in your stomach, and it's been causing this and caused heart to do this and so forth. Here, let's take this and you'll see it'll be gone in about a week. Boom, you do that in about a week. Wow, fear went away. Thought I was having a heart attack. Notice what cleared it up. Knowledge. Got it? Same thing in the spirit. Those spirits can't stand light. Entrance of thy word, come on, brings light. So one is knowledge. Another one we talked about is the presence of the Lord. Presence of the Lord. By the way, knowledge, you can do this. Put down this scripture, please. Psalm 24. Put down 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 6 and 7. 2 Kings 19, verse 6 and 7. And also 14 through 19. Okay? That's when knowledge came. Once knowledge came, fear left. All right? The presence of the Lord also. Also, the fear of the Lord. The Bible said that with the fear of the Lord, a number of things happen, praise God, but the fear of the Lord, you hate evil, and fear is evil. Also, let's look at the last one, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Isn't this wonderful? Yeah. The devil doesn't like this. That's why I like it. All right, this is a good one right here. Look at verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is what? Love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our what? Love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, keep going, so are we in this world. Did Jesus fear anything?
No.
Look at verse 18. There is no fear where? In love. But perfect love, come on, casts out fear. Because fear has what? Torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Wow. So maybe fear in your life is an indication that love is missing. Isn't that powerful? That love is missing. Now in this, I wrote it down here somewhere. But when you're talking about this love piece in your life, come on over here to Mark's Gospel chapter 7. I think that's where it is. I'm almost done, folks. Just give me just a second here. I mean, a minute or so. I'm almost done. This is valuable stuff I'm giving you now. This is stuff I got while I was overseas on the mission field. This is right from Africa. Check this out. Verse 24. And from this he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and gathered unto the house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. This is Jesus. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. And he said, God is telling me to tell you all something here. Let me just write it down. And fell at his feet. Yeah. Okay, the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Watch this. And Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. Now this woman was being called a dog. Now I don't care how you exegete this. Somebody's being called a dog up in here somewhere. Look at verse 28. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this what? Saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of your daughter. And when she was coming to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid in the bed. All right. Now, notice. Fear. Oof. This woman went to Jesus knowing he was being called to the Jews first. But she's pressing in. Why? Not because of her. It was because of her love. Got it? And folks, you need to have something that is outside of self so that you can make sure fear is out of your life. And that's what I'm saying now. If it's all about self, that's where the devil wants you. Because that's a hotbed of demons of fear. But love, God so loved the world. Jesus' reason for coming was not Jesus. It's because the Father loves you. And I'm telling you, even soldiers in the military, you talk to one that's really got this thing in him, and he says, I'm going to fight for my country. His love for the people of his country keeps fear out of his life. I want you to see this now. Because one of the first manifestations of the curse was selfishness. Adam, once he sinned, the Bible says, God said, Adam, where are you? Now, he's not talking about location, he's talking about position. He lost his headship. He said, why did you do this? He said, I heard the voice in the garden and I feared. And the woman you gave me. Got it? He wasn't protecting nobody.
Right.
He was selling on somebody. Do you hear what I'm saying? And you got a mother that's walking with her daughter, and that dog jumps out of that yard after her daughter. You watch that mother pull that daughter back, and no sign of fear. Because you love somebody. And most of the world is selfish. And fear is invading them like a flood. Because it's all about me. But if you get somebody else on your mind and say, I'm going to help my children. I'm going to make sure I'm going to sacrifice so that they can go to school. I'm going to make sure that I get them had spent time. I'm going to the PTA meeting. See, I love them. I want them to do well. It ain't all about that. It's about me. What kind of car I drive. I don't care how they look in school. I want to know, can I get a new car? And because of it, fear is overtaking their lives. And faith is not working. And it's all about me. And I'm telling you, folks, we need to turn that around. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. I'm telling you, it's everything. Because when you look at the children of Israel, eventually they start sacrificing their children to Molech.
Yes,
I mean, burning them.
Yes, sir.
As a sacrifice.
Yes.
Why? Because of no love. I'm saying, you know, it's me. I got to get a new outfit. I didn't care about nobody else. I'm kids, thanks, you know. No, my parents worked 2 or 3 jobs to make sure I went to college. Today, parents could care less because it's all about me. And fear is taking them over. They coming down with diabetes, headaches, it's all kinds of stuff. And it has no place in your life.
Amen.
Now turn that around starting tonight. Amen. Care about somebody else greater than yourself.
Amen.
And guaranteed, love will come, fear will go, and the disease with it. I know y'all didn't come here for all that, but where did I tell you to turn? Where? Oh, yeah. Now, this, I'm not saying this to get condemned, but I'm saying this to get convicted, because this is profitable for reproof. Galatians chapter 5, are you with me?
Yes.
Watch this. Verse 18. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? What? Adultery, keep going. Fornication, yep. Uncleanness, yep. Lasciviousness, idolatry, keep going. Witchcraft, so forth. The foundation of every one of those is fear. Think about it. Well, I may not get this man, you know. I want to make sure he looked like the one. Come on. I know I ain't supposed to do this, but I'm going to do this thing just this time. Come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm going to. Come on. I'm going to. I believe this Boaz, and I know God will forgive me, and then he get it and he's gone, cause he got what he wanted. He was just on the hunt, hit it and left. I know, but fear made me give it up. Now, am I preaching tonight? Am I preaching? Not only is he gone, he got your girlfriend. And you get mad at her. Don't get mad at her. Get mad at you. All the works of the flesh are under the spirit of fear. The Hittites is number one. It's fear-based. Whether it's doubt, unbelief, whatever, it's all fear-based. We have a fear-based society. How much insurance can I take out on myself because I might lose my life? Not knowing that the covenant has guaranteed that you be impervious. Yes. That nothing will hurt you. John chapter 9, I'm out. Boy, I'm preaching good today. Y'all glad I'm back. So all you got to do is, if you miss it, just repent. Repent means to turn the other way. It don't mean feel sorry for yourself. But that's remorse, and that means you're going to do it again. You just felt bad tonight. Okay? So I'm just letting you know that all the others, he said, but the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, prayer, so forth. And all those are built on faith. All right? Now, what did I just say, you turn? John chapter 9. All right? And what happened was, here's Jesus. He heals the man. I'll just let it go. And what happened is, because he healed the man, the Pharisees wanted to know, wait a minute, who healed this man? And then they finally got to his parents. Verse 20, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we don't know. Or who has opened his eyes, we don't know that either. Now he's old enough, you go and ask him. He speak for himself. Get it? Look at the next verse. And these words spake his parents because they what? Feared the Jews. They feared what other people are going to say about them. And I'm going to tell you something. God is going to bring you to a point where you're going to have to decide whether he's God in your life. And he will do it every time. Why? Because he's not bringing up stepchildren. He's bringing up family members. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we got. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. Victory over fear. No fear here. Say it with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I have heard your word concerning fear. And from this day forward, I decree that there'll be no fear here. Every spirit of fear that has been operating in my life, I decree you are dispossessed right now in the name of Jesus. And by the power of his precious blood, I command you, go, leave, now, in Jesus' name. Father, fill me with your spirit. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Somebody's here and you've not been born again, but God has been speaking in your heart about being born again. This is the time, and you don't have to fear anything. Every one of us have to come the same way. This is a house here that we save souls, bring people to Christ.